It's the Rule of Threes podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
And I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's May 1st, 2018. Hey. Casey, let's talk about this jersey.
I wore a jersey to the podcast today. I got my my Anthony Davis New Orleans Hornets Mardi Gras jersey.
Uh-huh. It's beautiful.
Thank you. I love it. I was very happy to have gotten this jersey.
The Hornets historically have had pretty great but also very colorful jerseys.
Yes.
Ever since the original Alexander Julian Charlotte Hornets design.
Oh, yeah.
Which was great. I love that one.
Yeah. And I think the Pelicans ones have not lived up to those standards yet.
Yeah, since then.
I think that I'm not a fan of the red in their
colors. Actually, I'm not a fan when a lot of teams, they will, and I think it's out of marketing desires, sort of branch out and find a third or fourth color that is like I don't mind those Utah Jazz sunset-y ones.
I was just thinking about that. I fucking love those jerseys. They're cool.
But it's the same impulse.
Yeah.
They're like, we have white jerseys, we have these dark jerseys, we need something else to sell, I think. But I do like those Utah Jazz ones.
I mean, there are so many jerseys now, especially with Nike coming on to be the official merchandiser of the NBA. It's kind of like they got to put as many jerseys out there because they kind of took away a little bit of the spread. They used to have like three levels of jerseys, the replica, the swing man, the authentic.
And what do they have now?
Now I think it's just two. I think they just have like the replica and swing man are kind of in one zone, and then they have the authentic. It's not as diverse from a like value standpoint, but those replica jerseys are not good.
I think this extra color thing happens more with teams where their jerseys don't sell well.
Yeah.
For like, I don't think Boston has gotten a different color.
Well, yeah, no. They just have green and white.
They have some black ones.
It's the black that they brought in.
But I don't think they would ever be able to be like, now we have got orange in there.
Yeah. I think if the Celtics wore orange, I think the world would explode.
Yeah, I think that would. I mean, the Lakers similarly. I imagine the Bulls will sort of stay in their wheelhouse.
I mean, the Bulls have green jerseys for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that's true. But like as a regular, not like as often as you're seeing those Utah Jazz sunshiny ones.
I mean, I think it was the city uniform. Nike has these completely unintuitive like category names. They have their like their legends and their association jersey and it's very confusing, very hard to understand. But basically, they have a home, away, an alternate, and then another alternate for every team. So, and then sometimes there are more alternates.
Like, buy this one as well.
Yeah.
Buy this one too.
Buy me.
Okay, now, are you trying to will a Pelicans win tonight?
I am not trying to will a Pelicans win tonight. It's raining in Los Angeles today. And one of my great joys, because in Los Angeles, it's not really that cold when it rains. One of my great joys is wearing a sleeveless jersey when it rains because I like feeling the rain on my arms.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You could just go shirtless, Casey.
I could just go shirtless. I think that's a bit aggressive because I don't know if I like feeling it on my back. But it's nice to be like, hey, everybody else has got to buckle down for the winter and the rain and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here in California, and when it rains, I get to chill.
Well, you also could move to the west side, where I do believe you could definitely go shirtless.
Yes, yeah.
Because whenever I drive over on the west side, not even on the beach, just like in Culver City or wherever, you see more guys that are just like, you know, you obviously see guys that are jogging that are shirtless, but you also see guys just like walking around shirtless, and they're not homeless.
Yeah, I grew up in Hermosa Beach. And
oh, there you go.
Just like the amount of like shirtless dads hanging around in Hermosa Beach are out of control. There was a guy who was like a big baseball coach in our community, and he just was the tannest dude because I don't think I ever saw him with a shirt on if it was the daytime. Like at nighttime, sometimes he'd put a shirt on.
Right.
But he was just like always no shirt. He lived right by the beach. It was, you know, very,
another
very
place for that is Palm Springs.
Oh.
There's a lot of leathery white people in Palm Springs.
Leathery is such a perfect term because it doesn't look good for your skin.
No.
Right? It looks awful. It looks like, it looks like it's very unhealthy. It feels very
and interestingly, can make you look very poor or very rich.
Yes. Yeah. You get the George Hamilton look. That's the rich.
Well, because it's leisurely.
Yes.
It's either leisurely or you don't have shelter.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So interestingly, I think it seems like Steph Curry's going to play tonight.
That's the word on the street,
which I did think was interesting because it didn't seem like they needed him. And
you know, it's just one game.
Yeah. I agreed with the thing that Barkley said, which was like, if he doesn't play tonight, he gets almost a full more week.
Yeah.
But I guess if he's ready to go, he's ready to go.
Yeah. And maybe he'll play 20 minutes and then ease his way back into feeling good about it.
Seem like he does that.
No, thing. He's not really a 20.
He sort of jumps
guy.
Back in and plays.
He'll go
30.
He'll take a bunch of shots.
Lots of things we said last time turned out to be true and untrue.
Yeah. I mean, we were there.
One thing is I do think the Warriors looked very good.
They looked so good.
Yeah.
They looked unstoppable.
I think this is why I think they're going to win this year and why I think they're unstoppable is the defense.
Okay.
I mean, the offense is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I love their offense. I don't understand how you could like basketball and not like their offense.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Because I think that they're so fun to watch when they're passing the ball around, when the threes go in,
yeah.
When they have a role man who just crashes the hoop. Like, that's fun stuff to me. I like that.
I also like that they don't run very many pick and rolls.
Yeah.
When everybody else just does it to death, yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that a lot of teams then don't know how to defend them sometimes.
Because
they're like, we always defend pick and rolls.
Yeah.
Most of our strategy discussions are about, you know, how we deal with pick and rolls. And now these guys run like 10 a game or something. They run a few more in postseason, but not as many.
One thing that I think is very fun about watching them on offense is they scramble the defense that they're playing against so well. It's so fun to watch a scrambling defense,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're like, oh, they're never going to get there. This is hilarious. They're getting run roughshod.
It's like Keystone Cops.
Yes, yes.
My only thing that frustrates me sometimes about their offense is sometimes I feel like just take that shot. That's a good shot. You know, they I think overpass a little bit.
Yeah,
but that's a pretty good problem to have.
That's the curse of the Warriors. This horrible curse that they overpass to try to find the best shot.
Yeah,
you know, they're always tinkering in a way that is, you know, sometimes detrimental.
And then defensively, I think they are as much fun to watch on defense as they are on offense.
I can agree with that.
It's fun to see. It's really fun to see. You can, it's like, even on a TV, and even though it's small, you can see Draymond quarterbacking the defense.
Oh yeah, I mean, and he's so vocal and like visibly vocal.
Yeah,
like not just, you know, because we can't hear him, but you can see him pointing and yelling and screaming, and he will always try to cover up everything.
Yeah,
right. Anytime somebody is, you know, he anchors that defense down in the middle. Against anybody tries to try him at the hoop on a drive, on a post up, he's there, he's game, and he does really, really fucking well.
He
goes for it, and you know, I mean, this is a guy who won Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah,
you know, like,
and he's got well deserved. And also, I think I was thinking while watching that game, I was thinking about your opinion of Draymond. Kind of is almost like a little bit of a litmus test as to how closely you watch basketball. Because I think some people really dismiss him and his contributions to the team.
Because he doesn't shoot well. He's not a great shooter. He's just a guy who, like, will take a shot, but probably shouldn't be the one taking a shot. Well, people don't see that when they watch.
I didn't realize how much ball handling he does.
Yeah.
And pushing, and this is why I think that this series is not going to be a problem for them, is after the game, Alvin Gentry, the coach for the Pelicans, said, we're going to continue to play fast. That's the way we play. And I was like, that's not going to work with these guys. Like,
it'll work for a game when their shooting's out.
Right? Yeah.
But, I mean, I regret saying seven, because it didn't look like a seven game
I just
series.
Think the Warriors can play at that speed pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. Because pretty much everybody who's on the floor for them at any time will push off a rebound.
Yeah.
Right? They can get those fast break points quickly and efficiently in a way that is hard to defend because you're cross-matched everywhere because they do such weird defensive switches.
And they're good at, like, as they're crossing the half-court line, finding the cross matches, and the frustrating thing is, even if you stop the penetration to the rim, which often you don't, and often you just get an alley-oop, which is must be so frustrating.
Yeah.
Let's say you stop that, then the dribbler continues under the basket, hooks around, and then passes it to Klay Thompson.
Yeah. God. Now, what a horrible pass.
Now, watching other defenses over the weekend, this is why I think Golden State's going to win, because Golden State tends not to give up the layups and dunks that, like, even the Rockets were giving up to Donovan Mitchell or whoever. Like, there's a softness to most of the other defenses, except maybe Boston.
Okay.
But where there's too many plays where people get a free path to the rim, and there's, I guess, I don't know if it's a team mentality or what. I see a lot of defenders on other teams giving up.
Okay.
Like, they're too late for the help, and they're just like, whatever, we give that one up. And I feel like the Warriors do that less often.
Yeah. A lot less of those incredibly late closeouts that are just for show.
Yeah, just for show. There's less fake help as well. Like, if watching the Golden State, watching their defense help and helping the helper is really fun to watch.
Yeah.
So I think, again, it probably hinges on Drew a little bit, because he didn't have a good game.
No.
And I guess, you know, as much as we said, like, maybe he's going up to, like, top tier point guards after the first series, this series might, like, knock him down a peg.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's been one game. That's the important thing, is, like, they all have some time to readjust and reapply their principles, but, you know.
And Alvin Gentry seems like a good coach.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah.
So we gotta talk about your anger levels.
About, as predicted, he scored 50, basically.
Man, he had a game. He like,
yeah, yeah. I did not watch much of this. I watched, like, condensed highlights. That was one of those things where I was like, you know, where I would go back and watch it if they lost for the Schadenfreude.
And instead you had to, like, worry about your own anger management levels and,
well, a lot of times, the thing is, I'm never angry at LeBron.
Uh-huh.
I'm angry at either, like, the way his games get parsed out, or I'm angry at the other team.
Okay.
Because sometimes I'm just like, this is a year, for example, I'll just project it into the next series.
Okay.
If the Raptors don't win this series, they should be broken up.
Okay, because then if they can't get past LeBron, what are they even doing?
Well, what if they can't get past LeBron in this state?
Yeah,
then they will never get past, like, a championship level. The Cavaliers are not a championship level team.
No, they certainly are not.
So if the Raptors, with home court advantage and a better roster and a better coach, cannot beat them, then it's not like LeBron might not even be in the East next year. So it's not like they can't get past him next year necessarily, but it's like, then I'd be skeptical that you ever really contend for a championship.
Yeah.
Mentally.
I mean, it's hard because, you know, I feel like this Raptors team has taken steps, you know, like they haven't taken a leap. They've been taking steps.
You almost made Raptor hooks with your hands when you did that.
These Raptors climb up mountains slowly.
They open doors.
Yeah.
They know how to open doors.
They do. You hear them creeping along, and you look into the mirror, and they're there.
But that's right.
They run into you, and you're not there because they're just dumb Raptors.
it's another thing of, like, them and the Rockets are, they have to do it before anyone believes they can do it.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the same way the Warriors did, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that first year that they did it, people didn't believe in them until it was like, all right, we're here, we're in the finals, we believe in this team. Like, they ran through the regular season, and people were like, they haven't proven themselves.
Right.
They don't know what's going on. I mean, nobody's proven themselves until they win, which is just a fact. And you have to believe that people can win without proving themselves, because it happens.
Because it happens.
And then we twist in our minds that, like, oh, they're winners. They've always been winners. They've been winners for forever. Hey, the Lakers are winners, right? They won plenty of championships, and they're winners. And just because we are the Lakers, they're winners now. So they're going to be in the playoffs and win next year.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Well, we won, what, 40, 30s? 30, how many games?
We won 35.
five?
Six, 33, 34. Something
more
like
than expected.
Yes, more than I expected. I predicted 26 for the Lakers this year, which was exactly what they won last year. And they were much better. They were much better this year. They gave teams fights.
Randall played. I think that the Raptors do have to prove it. I just think that this form of the Cavaliers and LeBron is the most vulnerable it's ever been.
Oh, absolutely.
So I just feel like I would blow it up if they don't win.
Yeah. And so, okay. So what is let's talk about blowing up the Raptors. What does blowing up the Raptors mean to you? Who stays? Who goes when you blow up the Raptors?
Well, here's the thing is, I guess, who's the top player to keep? Is it DeMar?
Probably. It's DeRozan. It's definitely DeRozan, right?
So, yeah. So I guess I would keep him.
Or do you blow them up and say, this isn't going to work at all, and you send everybody to all corners of the United States?
I think you keep him, and if you can, you try to keep Lowry.
Okay, so then you don't want to blow up the Raptors.
Well,
you want to completely retool around these two guys.
So but I'm trepidatious about even keeping DeMar.
Okay.
Because I'm not convinced that he is the superstar to build around.
Okay.
Especially after watching Kobe's detail show.
Details. Details on ESPN Plus streaming right now.
That's right. I will say last night I watched episode 3.
The one with Donovan.
Donovan Mitchell. It's excellent.
Nice.
I'll just say there's another clip in it that's great. When Donovan Mitchell tries to set a screen, Trevor Ariza like pushes him and he loses his footing. And instantly Kobe freezes and he's like, no, that ain't it. And he's just like, I'm not going to let this man push me off my feet like this. Like, yeah. The play is like 1 second old, and he's like, no, definitely not.
No, you gotta have that toughness. But, you know, that's the kind of toughness you got to prove that you have. Right?
I will recommend that show. You can get a free trial to it. You can get a free month of ESPN Plus. Just watch the free month and cancel. Because the great thing about that is, even on plays where Mitchell gets a layup, Kobe will be like, okay, but this is what we could do better, or this is how we could get this play again, or this is how we could use this play to decoy in the future. So like even successful plays, he's like breaking down, which is fascinating to me. And there were a couple like other like little nuggets that I was like, oh, I've never thought of it that way before.
Damn, so why didn't we name this podcast Detailing Details?
Yeah. Everyone were, actually I was thinking I do want to do, if I can get improv teams to send me their show videos.
Oh my God. That'd be funny.
The thing, same thing for that. Where it's like,
no, okay. No, here. All right. You got to make a different choice there. All right.
No, he doesn't say you. He says, I got to do something different.
Okay.
Now look, so like I'm on the back line and see, I should have made that edit. That's the moment. You see me move. That was the edit. I still, everything points to the Raptors winning that series.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and it is only because of how good LeBron is that people are like, well, maybe.
The funny thing is that I watched a clip of, is it First Take?
Yeah.
Or is it?
First Take's the one with Kellerman.
No, the other one, Undisputed.
Undisputed.
And I was like, oh, I'm kind of become Skip Bayless.
Oh, man, the point in your life when you realize, I'm Skip Bayless.
Well,
not a good one.
He was making the same points I was making to Richard Jefferson about like how LeBron doesn't play one half of the ball. And this is what I was thinking. They were saying like, well, he has to do so much on the offensive end. He's too tired to play the defensive end. This was in response to Shannon saying that he's the greatest player on the planet. And I guess what I would say is, which Skip didn't say, so I'm different from him.
I'm not Skip Bayless. I've realized this.
Is that if he were to play the appropriate amount of defense that he should be playing, then his offensive numbers would suffer, and then you wouldn't be able to say he's the greatest player on the planet because he would have 10% less offensive stats.
Okay.
So you either have to take into account the fact that he doesn't play defense, or you have – like that has to be factored into it. When you're talking about who's the greatest player on the planet, whether or not he's like, you know, number two or three is – he's still at worst three, but depending on whose team you root for.
Okay.
But
you mean like currently or all time?
Currently.
Okay.
All time. I mean, he'll never catch Jordan.
Okay.
It's just that Jordan's resume is too compact and pristine.
Even when he's, yeah, I guess you said compact. Yes.
It's not, it doesn't have any holes that LeBron can poke himself into at this point.
No, like, why could LeBron poke himself into a two-year gambling hole?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, that LeBron would never gamble. He's a dad. He's going to take calculated risks.
LeBron can't go back and fix the years that hurt him the most in that debate.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a little bit of memorials?
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the teams that we've lost, right? You know, the teams that we are not going to see
anymore.
This
is like the Oscars when they do a
A little bit less. Like the Oscars, not what I'm looking for. What I am looking for is like an obituary. Like the things that we're going to miss, but the things that we're not going to miss. You know, like, these teams are gone, but like, they had good and bad. And I want to talk about the good and bad of each of those teams. All right. So we're going to start in the West.
Okay.
And I want to start with the Timberwolves. All right. What are you going to miss about the Timberwolves?
I like Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
I love watching Jimmy Butler at both ends of the floor. And I said this previously, I love all his random takes to the camera.
They're so funny.
After whistles and stuff like that.
It's perfect.
I love Jimmy Butler. If the Lakers had a choice between Paul George and Jimmy Butler, I would take Jimmy Butler.
All right. I mean, they may have tried to have that choice this last offseason and ended up with neither.
Yeah.
So I think the thing that I hate about the Timberwolves that I am not going to miss is Tom Thibodeau.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I think they should fire him and get a new coach.
Right. I am tired of the Tom Thibodeau stuff. I'm tired of him wearing out his players.
Yep.
I'm tired of
his voice.
Defense. I'm tired
voice.
Of the only thing that I want to stick around for the rest of the playoffs with Tom Thibodeau is that he's got this picture of him where he's like cackling and he looks like the Joker, and I love it. And that's it. That's all. I'm glad that we don't have to deal with Tom Thibodeau.
I hate his, what I guess used to be real intensity and is probably now fake intensity, because your intensity doesn't translate to the defensive end, which is supposed to be your calling card.
Yeah.
So you need to take a break.
Yeah.
You need to rest your players and rest yourself.
Yeah. I'm all out on Tom Thibodeau. Hey, Timberwolves. See you later.
Fire Tom Thibodeau.
Fire Tom Thibodeau.
Goodbye, Timberwolves.
Okay, now we're going to go to the seventh seed, the Spurs.
What do I miss about them?
How about I'll do the miss for this one. Okay, so what I'm going to miss about the Spurs, I'm going to miss old man Manu.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I just love Manu Ginobili and his crafty drives and his step back three pointers and his bald spot and his bat breaking skills, not back breaking skills, bat, as in like when he slapped the bat out of the air.
Oh, right.
I'm gonna miss seeing Manu Ginobili on the court. And that, like, this may be the last time. Like, mm-hmm. He may not come back. Like, that may be his last game that he played. And if that's the case, then I'm super gonna miss some Manu Ginobili.
I don't think I'll miss anything about the Spurs. They have bored me for 25 years.
Wow.
I only liked them the 1 year they beat the Cavs.
Okay.
And I hated them the 1 year they lost to the Cavs.
Yeah.
Because I was like, just get a rebound.
What about the Heat? What about those years with the Heat? Where they beat the Heat and then they lost to the Heat?
I was slightly, I don't know. There's years that I'm indifferent about who wins.
Okay.
But I don't... Yeah, I'm fine. I would. What I miss about the Spurs is I love the turmoil that their fans were in, especially because of the Kawhi drama.
Okay.
So I enjoy watching them like sort of twist in the wind with that.
I think
that's actually probably going to be all nothing in the end.
Yeah.
My feeling is he's probably just going to come back and not say anything about it ever. And he'll just be like, oh, well, that was it. I honestly think that's what's going to happen.
I mean, Ramona Shelburne, the god, put out an article about it today, and I was reading it, and it feels messy because of all the stuff around it.
Right. That's the one where, the Spurs organization is worried that he's trying to force a trade to the Lakers.
I mean, a little bit of that, but a lot of just, they're not communicating because Kawhi believes his injury is different than what the Spurs believe his injury is. And that, that's a lot of drama. And here's the thing. That drama is going to be there no matter whether the Spurs are in the playoffs or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't really say goodbye to that drama. That drama lives.
It'll just go on hiatus a little bit.
Until the season's completely done. We'll hear less about it. But that article.
What will heal faster, the quad or the organization?
Uh, the quad.
Oh,
the rift between them is great. Hmm. And I think that it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm not saying that they can't figure it out, but I'm interested.
I wonder if they're surprised because they've never had to, they've had such collegial stars before.
Yeah.
That all love the, like, they love the family. They come back to games. They're like all part of it.
Yeah.
And this maybe is a departure from that.
Yeah. It's different. It's very different.
Who's next? Oh, goodbye, Spurs.
The Portland. Oh, yeah. Catch you later, Spurs. See ya. See ya, Spurs. We got to come up with,
you're going to go under that CGI boat that they put on inside the NBA. Yeah,
yes, 100%. We're going to the three seed, the Portland Trailblazers. What are you going to miss about the Portland Trailblazers?
That is tough.
Oh, come on. There's got to be something. Speak nice. We're speaking of the dead here.
What will I miss about the Portland Trailblazers? I mean, I still like Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
So I guess I will miss him playing well, but you could argue that I missed that during the series too.
Yeah. That's a real good point.
So top tier Damian Lillard, I have missed since game one of that series.
Wow. Yeah. RIP. He kind of took off there.
Now knowing your affection for the rest of that roster, what are you going to not miss?
I am certainly not going to miss Yusuf fucking Nurkic.
Useless Nurkic.
Useless.
Wait, Nurkic. That someone must have made.
I'm
that.
Sure someone has said that before. I'm not going to miss him because
useless Nurkic.
And here's the thing. Why do we hate players like Yusuf Nurkic? Because he has so much potential.
He's white.
Because he's white. That's number two. I think I hate him so much because he's played well before and he is so inconsistent in a way that feels like he should have put it together already.
Uh huh.
Right. Like, I want him to be better than he is.
Yeah.
And I am not going to miss him failing to do that. Like, he has failed me as a basketball fan, and I want him to not do that. And I'm not going to miss being frustrated watching him play, watching him complain, watching him not be good. You know, I think he could be, and he just isn't.
There is something to international players that... and honestly, with international white players, that they fall into a rubric that's like they have to demonstrate a certain amount of like fire to their game. Otherwise, they look real lazy sometimes.
That's fair. And like Nurkic is a fiery guy. Like he's a guy who has emotion and can play with emotion. Like,
but how often does he bring that?
It's, and I think it's less that he doesn't bring the emotion and more that he just doesn't perform. I mean, it feels like he gets taken, you know, by better players or players who are as good or not as good. It's just, he'll disappear at certain times.
Well, that's what I'm saying is how passive is he sometimes against?
I don't, it doesn't feel to me like a passive thing.
Getting snuffed out.
Yeah. It feels like a skill thing where like sometimes he has the skill, sometimes he doesn't. Right. I don't know if it's a passion thing because it feels like he's a passionate guy, somebody who cares about what's happening. It just doesn't feel like he puts it together. And that's frustrating to me.
And by the way, the thing I said about white European players or whatever he is, like, that was more dismissive than I meant. I'm not saying that's fair or not. I just think that's the way they get perceived.
Yeah.
I don't think like Giannis falls in, like people don't, and obviously he plays with a lot of passion, but he has moments where he's like not into it, but he doesn't get framed the same way.
Yeah.
Jokic, who I really like and I think is really skilled, sometimes when he's not playing well, you're like, man, this guy needs to go to the gym. Like, he's not...
It's because his game is very skill and passing and, like, basketball IQ based.
Yes.
And people see that and go, oh, he doesn't have the heart to, like, take it to
the
rack.
Well, also just because he physically looks exhausted sometimes by the end of games. And he doesn't... By NBA standards, it's kind of out of shape.
Kind of looks like Gumby.
I imagine if you were next to him, you'd be like, oh, this guy's like an athlete.
Yes, 100%. He's got a young looking face.
Exactly. Right?
He looks young. And it's funny because you've seen that picture of his passport?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God. His passport, he's got a picture where he's like 14, 15.
Uh-huh.
And he looks like a baby. He looks like he's a baby. Now he's going to be a grown man soon, but he's like 24. You know, he's getting there.
You know who has kind of a baby face that I didn't realize is Etuan Moore. from the Pelicans.
Uh-huh.
And also I realized, or noted, he's the best three-point shooter on that team.
Yeah, they are not a good
And he only takes three a game or something like that.
Yeah, they're going to get rocked.
I thought of him because who has an old face is Rajon Rondo.
Rajon Rondo, he who has become death on the basketball court.
Yeah. Who are we memorializing next?
We got the last team to memorialize in the West.
Uh-huh.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay. I have to think of something. No, you have to think of something nice.
I do.
Good.
I'm going to miss Steven Adams. Right? I love Steven Adams. I think Steven Adams is a good player. I think that he's tough. I think he's fun. And I think he's just chill as hell. You know,
as you stated before quotes. The series started, the third best player on that team,
absolutely.
Which is absolutely true.
It's 100% true.
Yeah.
And so I like watching him play. I like watching him get putbacks. I like watching him do cool things on the court and be like, whoa, that was cool, mate.
That was cool.
And then I didn't try to do the accent. I just threw the mate in there because I know I am not going to get that accent.
I'm not reliably able to do the difference between a New Zealand and Australian accent.
No, not in my wheelhouse.
I will say, quick tip, that Australians will say fish and chips,
uh-huh.
and New Zealands will say fish and chips.
Okay.
That's the main difference.
All right.
That's actually the only difference between the two countries as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, is the way that they pronounce their fish and chips.
Yep.
Cool. Great. I prefer battered fish and fries, but whatever, dude. I'm gonna miss Steven Adams because I want him to have success because I think he's a good player, and I want it feels like he just like goes to work, does his thing, and like kills it, and then the rest of his team lets him down in ways that are entirely predictable.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think he's one of those players that is sometimes infuriating when he's not on your team, like
yeah.
when he's doing stuff to your team.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think if he was on your team, and I think he's much milder a version of that than like Bruce Bowen.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Like even Matt Barnes, when he was on the Lakers, was still kind of hateable.
Yes. Yeah.
But Steven Adams, he seems sort of appropriately physical for his position and for someone that comes from that part of the world, because I feel like those guys, like Ben Simmons is another example, they don't seem like they're going to end up being super physically intimidated in games because they've been fucking playing rugby when they're 8.
Yeah.
So all this is like nothing to them.
It's easy. What are you not going to miss about the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Two things.
Ooh.
Fuck Carmelo Anthony.
Okay.
And fuck Russell Westbrook.
Whoa.
I'm tired of both their acts.
Okay. All right.
Carmelo is much more egregious.
Yeah.
Carmelo is just like his exit interview was insane.
That is a piece of work, right?
Yeah.
So, I get it. You don't want to say, yeah, I'm a bench player now. No one in the entire NBA is going to say that until they are a bench player.
Right.
Isaiah Thomas, before he got traded, was like, I'm not a bench player.
Right.
When he got traded to the Lakers, I'm not a bench player. Right. You have to talk yourself up. I understand that. However, it's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Right. He's a bench player. Carmelo Anthony should be playing in the second unit. Carmelo Anthony should be bad Lou Williams.
He's back of the second unit, you know, like
it's a lot of teams. It's so rough. And like, especially like, I don't take Carmelo as a liar. I take him as somebody who might be deluded about how good he is.
Yes, exactly.
But I don't take him as a liar. And for him to say that they didn't game plan at all to have him on that team was really a thing that was a little eye opening. Cause I don't think that he's just saying that because they did and he just didn't get it. I think
No.
And like a part of that is that he came in halfway through training camp.
I also
like
wonder how much they game planned for Paul George.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how much can you game plan when you got
which leads me
two.
To my second point. Yeah. Fuck Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
I'm just tired of it.
You're tired of it.
But
he averaged a triple double this year.
Yeah, great.
Because he got 47 rebounds in the last game.
Yeah.
That number up.
I actually spent a little time last night watching video of him stealing rebounds.
Stealing them from who, might you
from
ask?
From Steven Adams,
yeah.
mostly. And from Sabonis.
Yes.
And so the Sabonis ones from last year are particularly funny because Sabonis puts his hands up like he's getting robbed. Like, he's got both his hands up, hands off. Which I would actually be annoyed with if I was a big man that like my paycheck is kind of affected by that.
Yeah.
But just the totality of Westbrook, to me, I'm just bored of at this point.
Yeah.
I don't like watching him. I don't like watching him play basketball.
Yeah.
I like watching highlights. If you give me a 2-minute highlight of his 3 best plays or whatever, 10 best plays of the season or whatever, great. But
watching him attack the rim on those plays is mesmerizing. His his dunks are violent in a way that is guttural. Love it.
I like that. But I also feel like now I can get that from other people.
Yeah.
And I feel like just the I think when we were talking before about the difference between him and Kobe, I do think that the basketball IQ gap is huge between the two of them.
Yeah.
Even when you see LeBron like break down plays and talk about like he recognized the coverage from or like Cavalier shut down got shut down on a certain play and then he faked something to sort of run the same set but like move the ball to a different place. I just don't see Westbrook ever displaying that same level of nuance when it comes to offense. And the fact that if you watch him off ball, it's horrendous. He doesn't do anything off ball.
Yeah. It's tough. Cause like, you know, you get him running off of a screen or two and he could have headroom to make weird stuff happen to defenses.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't happen in their offense. And I think that like we blamed Scott Brooks when it was happening. We're blaming Billy Donovan. Should we also blame Russell the Muscle Westbrook?
Oh, yeah. We should. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what he would do if he was with Chris Paul. Like, would he give up the ball and, like, he would be a devastating cutter and, like, backdoor, like, all sorts of.
Yeah.
Not only would he be devastating, he'd be a devastating threat that would distort the defense to constantly be, because, you know, you forget about him for 1 second and you theoretically could be throwing lobs to like ferocious alley-oops.
Yeah.
But I don't see that game ever having developed at the Thunder.
No.
So he has to have a part of it. Zach Lowe did write did you read that?
I did.
Seemed pretty reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, 5 shots a game. That's all you got to go down is what he was saying. And that like, if you get a hard no on that from Russell Westbrook, I mean, like the Thunder have cast their lot.
Yeah.
Right. They're done. Right. That like, this is what they are.
Yeah. So the reason I'm done with him is that it's up to him to see the light, whether he does or doesn't. Like he's not ever going to win a championship playing like this.
Yeah.
So either they are the Raptors and they change the way they play without significant roster changes.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be sort of doomed to, and people don't like playing with him. So, like,
there's no way
Paul George is staying. And I guess they'll keep Carmelo because
They might have to. I mean, it didn't seem like he enjoyed it being there.
By the way, last summer Hoodie Melo summer?
Yes.
That's amazing.
I mean, 2 summers ago was also, there have been a lot of Hoodie Melo.
Okay. It's just funny to me that, like, pretty recently we were like, it's the renaissance of Carmelo.
Well, yeah, Hoodie Melo's, I mean, Hoodie Melo was always a tongue-in-cheek thing, too, right?
But there were clips of, like, look at him holding his own in these one-on-one games versus, you know, that's the new alternate jersey we need.
Yes, yeah, is the hoodie.
Let's go to the East.
Okay, all right.
Bye, Thunder. Fuck you guys.
I'm going to say something nice about the 8 seed we lost because I know that you are not capable.
Oh, of the 8 seed, yes. The Thunder, by the way, Oklahoma just passed a thing saying that gay couples could not adopt.
Gross.
So fuck Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Jeez.
Fuck you guys. All right. East side.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say
something nice.
I'm going to say something nice about our 8 seed that we lost.
Okay.
The Washington Wizards. Here's what I'm going to miss about the Washington Wizards. I'm going to miss Otto Porter Jr.
Oh,
all right. And the reason I'm going to miss Otto Porter Jr. is because he was so good on my fantasy basketball team this year.
He had a great year.
He had a great year. He finally put it together.
And he signed
a contract.
But like that's great. Like he signed a better contract and then justified it.
Yes, he absolutely did. He did good for himself. He did good for the team. And it's good to see players who are drafted highly out of Georgetown improve, because it feels like that's something that doesn't happen in the modern era a ton. You know, you get Jeff Green, who was drafted highly out of Georgetown and just
5 years from now, you're going to be saying this about Mac McClung.
Mac McClellan. McClung. Mac
it's
McClung.
A real weird. You know,
yes, I watched a lot of his videos, and it's like, oh man, this white kid can dunk.
I don't think he's going to be anything, but
yeah, but I'm going to watch.
To me,
little.
He's just going to be like bouncy Bobby Hurley.
Do you remember? Do you remember that that rap video about? God, there was like this really bad rap video with a white guy, and he looks just like Mac McClung. It's like. I
Mac
can't remember.
Lamore?
It is not. It is not Mac Lamore. I wish it was Mac Lamore.
So you're going to miss Otto Porter.
I'm going to miss Otto Porter.
Actually, I don't hate the Wizards that much.
Could you have said something real nice about him?
Yes, I could have said that I don't mind Bradley Beal.
Okay, all right.
But I do hate John Wall.
Yeah, yeah.
His exit interview, again, insane.
Yeah.
So, like, self-involved and, like, not realizing that maybe he's part of the problem. It literally just like, we need to ship other people out.
Wow.
I would also say that I would miss Machine Gortat because I love his like just rabble rousing.
He's a rabble rouser. He reminds me of Yondu from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. Okay.
Just, you know, with the hair specifically, the mohawk, but also just like in his face, he like, it's not that he looks like a ton like Michael Rooker. Michael Rooker's got really sunken eyes and Gortat doesn't really. But just like the general, like, I'm going to mess things up and like throw myself around.
Like agent
and,
of chaos.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
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 I just won't miss John Wall. Again, another player I'm tired of where as similar to Westbrook, like we see the things you contribute and they're substantial. But if in the end basketball is entertainment,
yeah,
and these guys are essentially characters, and the narratives that have formed around these guys, I don't like anymore, and I'm done with. You know, like that's an important part of all this sports stuff. It's like it's just guys putting a ball in a basket. So like, you can say all you want about how people don't like narratives, but like that is sort of the way we're processing.
That's
all of
what
it.
We're here for. Is yeah. These narratives, and it's about parsing them in a way where they make sense. And they're fun, and we want to see more of them.
And they become, you know, maybe John Wall's a great guy in real life, but I don't know that guy. I just yeah. know the persona, and I know the words that he says when journalists ask him questions.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And, like, just his responses to that exit interview, just like, screw this guy, man. No yeah. humility at all.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exit interviews are tough. Because
for
it's
a dude that's never won anything in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I actually don't know what his postseason record is, but, like, what's the furthest he's ever gotten?
The second round.
Second round? So, it's like, our regard for him is kind of low enough, like, our expectations are low enough that we never even put the Chris Paul, like, criticism on him. Like, he never made it past second round.
Yeah.
Like, because no one expects him to.
No. Yeah.
Who's next?
All right, we got our 7 seed. Rest in peace. I want you to say something nice. About our Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, I'm going to miss Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
So much fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I apologize for confusing you with Chris Humphreys earlier in the playoffs.
I'm going to act as Chris Middleton and accept your apology.
Thank you. I will miss a lot about them. I think they're just, it's funny. Somebody on The Ringer was saying like, oh, who would you rather be, the Wizards or the Bucks? And they were like, well, I guess the Bucks, but they're not in good shape. And I was like, they seem in fine shape. They have a great, great player.
Yeah.
And they have a good Middleton.
Yeah.
And, like, they'll figure stuff out. Like, yeah. I don't see how I would ever be sad about my prospects with Giannis on my team.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I think that they are... there's other issues. For example, yeah. Who are you going to not miss from the Bucks?
All right. Tell you what I'm not going to miss from the bus. Bum-ass Eric Bledsoe. All right.
The Charlie Murphy of the NBA.
I am sick and tired of watching Eric Bledsoe be bad on good teams and be good on bad teams. And then be bad on bad teams, too. I don't like watching Eric Bledsoe. I think he's extremely overrated, and I have not seen him be he has been said to be for a long, 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 long
and then
time.
Did his like 6-minute stretch of good play frustrate you even more in that game?
No, it didn't frustrate me.
There was a thing of like, oh, Eric Bledsoe has shown up in the series finally.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he showed up and game seven, you know, in the first half with the game on the line. And that's good. I want that from him. I want him to be good. He's not, though. And I think that, like, that move that they did to get him, which cost them, you know, basically nothing, right? It was a negative for them overall.
Uh-huh.
And I am just really, really bummed that he's going to choke the ball out from people who are better than him. And I'm not going to miss him doing that. And starting a beef with Terry Rozier, get out of here, man. Like, show a little respect for somebody who whooped your butt whole series. All right, get out of here, man.
Bledsoe goes back to the thing of, like, I do think that there's the game, the separations at that level are mental, because he's clearly physically talented.
Yeah.
Like, he can do stuff that's like, why aren't you doing this more often?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Bledsoe questions just end up being like, why are you such an asshole?
Yeah.
Like, why are you an asshole in, like, on and off the court?
Yeah.
Why do you express yourself as an asshole while you play?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know, and it's just like, I'd love to talk to someone who loves Eric Bledsoe. Like, what do you like about him?
Yeah, yeah. Tell me why Eric Bledsoe is your favorite player.
Because he's not, he doesn't perform. His results aren't good enough for you to be like, I love his badass attitude that, like, you know, he, like, if Westbrook said, like, who? I don't know who that is. It would be framed in this, like, oh, it's just part of his killer mentality.
Yeah.
Except Bledsoe doesn't seem to have a killer mentality on the court.
No, he certainly does not. It feels like it's just a, like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
How obligated to him are they?
I don't know.
I hope not long. Because I also think that he's not a good fit for a young, growing team.
No.
I think Chris Middleton is great for that. And I don't know why. Like, Chris Middleton just seems like a positive force on a team of young players.
Yeah.
Eric Bledsoe seems like a player that will demonstrate how to be a jerk in the NBA to younger players.
Yeah, I think that that'll happen. And we'll see if he is any better over the length of the rest of his contract.
Yeah. You looking up his contract?
I am looking up his contract. Next team.
Who's the next team?
Is a 6 seed. I'm going to say something nice about our Miami Heat.
Oh.
I'm going to miss the Miami Vice jerseys. I fucking love those jerseys.
I don't think I saw those.
They're the ones that are neon blue and pink
and the
lettering.
Okay.
Oh, they're so fresh. Those jerseys are fresh as hell, and I want a Dwayne Wade Miami Vice jersey.
We're going to end up starting a Patreon for this podcast just to buy one jersey a month for Casey. I don't have enough occasions to wear these jerseys.
You make your own occasions, right? That's the, is it an occasion today to wear a jersey? Because it's raining, absolutely.
Because it's raining.
the thing I really like to do is I like to do comedy in a basketball jersey. And I think part of the reason for that is because it is, nobody else does it. Like, I've seen other people do it before, but not often. Like, I'm usually the only
not
person.
Not Blake Griffin.
No, not Blake Griffin. He'll do it in a, like, a very nice fitting t-shirt because Blake Griffin knows how to dress.
Yep, and I know how doing, to not dress. He's doing Ass Cats in the Palace at Auburn Hills or whatever.
That's hey, anytime you can get people out to that arena for any reason, you got to, because people weren't going to the games. I'm going to miss those jerseys. I loved the way that they looked. I thought they were the absolute best City Edition jersey this year. Truly a fantastic, fantastic jersey. And I wish that any team left in the playoffs had a jersey as cool as that, and they don't.
I think I've been more influenced by exit interviews this year.
Yeah.
Because goodbye, Hassan Whiteside.
Okay, to be fair, without the exit interview, you were already going to say goodbye, Hassan Whiteside.
Well, just because of the way he played.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I don't love pro wrestling, but pro wrestling, when they give a speech about, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and yes, a lot of it's scripted.
Yeah.
Then they do it, you know? So Hassan Whiteside is like he gives the speech and then, like, doesn't do anything in the match.
Yeah.
And you're just bored.
Yeah.
You know,
he's the Roman Reigns of the NBA, which, you know,
I don't get. I know a lot of people didn't like him being.
They don't like him, and he's been ordained to be the guy for a while, and people hate that. People hate when someone's ordained to be the guy.
You know, I have mixed feelings about Embiid. You know, I appreciate some of his trolling, but I wouldn't mind seeing him get smacked down a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, the Sixers in general, I sort of appreciate their promise. Like, I'm torn about who I like in the Celtics-Sixers yeah. game. Because I sort of never want to root for the Celtics.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to see the Sixers be just humbled a little bit, right?
Okay.
So, Whiteside is a perfect vehicle for that to happen because they had this beef earlier in the season. They both are big men. You know, that would have been a fun battle, and I kind of would have been fine either way as long as it was a real battle and it wasn't, and he then got benched.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder almost if he sort of didn't prep for that series because he wasn't sure if Embiid was going to be in it or something.
Yeah, I don't know, because towards the end of the season, they didn't play him as much as he wanted to, and, you know, he had a lot of complaints, but, like, yeah, he had complaints, but a lot of them, the reasons they didn't play him because he wasn't playing well. He was just yeah. not doing well.
And then when Embiid came back to the series, you have to know this is your chance. Like, you're going to get time now.
You gotta step it up. It's time to step it up.
And he didn't. So, and also he's they're obligated to him for, like, an insane contract.
Yes, they are. It's a lot of money. I mean, I think they'd be able to get off it if they really wanted to, but
who I mean, every the contract, yeah. I mean, the thing is, in the end, you can get out of any contract yeah. if you want to, but you have to take some stuff back or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. The last matchup.
Am I saying something nice?
You are going to say something nice.
I'll miss the entire team.
Going to miss those Indiana Pacers.
I look forward to, I hope that they can take a step up next year.
Yeah.
Because there have been teams like them who show some promise and then just sort of don't.
Yeah.
You know, there is not this, like, linear progression of, like, we made the first round, the next year we make the second round, the next year we make the finals, and then we make the, you know, then we win.
Unless you're the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah. Well, that progression, I think, like, you know, the Thunder make the finals against the Cavaliers, and you're like, these two teams are going to battle it out for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
That just doesn't. It really happens less than it does.
Yeah, less than the perception of it happens.
So I hope that the Pacers can sort of, I pretty much like their whole core. I love Lance Stephenson.
Yeah.
I love Oladipo.
Yeah.
I love his text to his trainer 16 minutes after the game.
Yes.
I love all that. I just, and this series actually I thought was mostly just an expression of, like, they're young. I think that if this same series, same rosters happened with, and they had 1 year of playoff experience,
yeah,
they would win, you know, which is shown by the point differential in that series.
Yeah.
I think that just, like, I think they're a very promising team. I like almost, I think I like everybody on the team. Is there anyone I dislike? And, I don't think so. Okay. And I like Nate McMillan.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to miss the whole team. What are you going to not miss?
I don't think I'm going to miss Darren Collison. I don't trust Darren Collison to have a role on a good team.
Darren Collison, more like Nick Collison.
Hey!
Darren Collison, number one in the league in three-point percentage this year.
Yeah.
But I guess didn't take a huge volume of shots.
No, not as many. It feels to me like he's the kind of player who wants to take over
mm-hmm.
and doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, this is, probably my least hot, like, I don't like this about this team, situation, but yeah, if I was going to say, I don't like, I'm not going to miss, Darren Collison.
The ego management at the NBA level must be an insane prospect because somebody like him, who probably until the professional level was the guy that should take over.
Yeah.
And now you have a team of 15 people like that.
Yeah.
Or you have 12 people like that and three guys that are like, I know what my role is. But, like, every team probably has four guys on it that have been treated as if they are the next coming of the great player and could do it.
Yeah.
You know? And then they're, like, just at a level where it's like, no, like, we really want Victor to have the ball.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard just to contain egos, you know, in places where it isn't highly elevated.
I mean, it's
elevated.
Hard to contain egos on an improv practice group.
I mean, it's hard to contain for free. It's hard to contain egos on a podcast with two guys who, like, really fight about basketball.
You yeah, know,
like,
exactly.
We got ego issues.
Two, when the recording stops, fucking hate each other.
We fight so much. Ugh, so much ego going on here.
Yeah, I could see that. In all, though, that's a pretty light, like...
It's light.
You know, if you can shoot Darren Collison or Eric Bledsoe into space on...
Like
into... Jeff Bezos' Amazon rocket.
Ooh. Like, as in, like, that sounds kind of cool.
I know.
I have much more disdain for Eric Bledsoe, for sure.
Yeah.
Are you excited about the second round? Because I'm very excited about the second round.
I'm very excited. I think we got some good matchups going on. We have Warriors tonight. Do we have another game tonight?
I believe that it's the first game.
Cavaliers.
For the Cavs.
Yeah, that's going to be a great series because either way, it'll be sort of interesting.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, almost... Wait, all the matchups are fun because the Warriors is fun for me because I love watching the Warriors. That might be the least interesting series. Utah Rockets, I think, should or has the potential. I hope they get Rubio back.
After that first quarter, that game was pretty tight the rest of the game. Not as in tight as in it was close for the rest of the game, but like they played each other even for the rest of the game after that first quarter where they just got whomped.
Watching the Kobe thing, Donovan Mitchell reminds me of Manu.
Because
his moves to the rim are a little like long-legged and stretchy in a way.
Yeah.
Like he does a lot of scoops.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of like, oh, he got there faster. Weirdly, both faster and slower than I thought he would.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like he's not a bunch of like, he's not like a little scamp sometimes.
Yeah.
He's sort of smart and deceptive about how he gets to the rim.
Yeah. Gets people on their back foot and not defending at full speed in a way that like makes it seem like he's faster when he's actually kind of going at a speed that's not like as quick as it could be. He's not like full blown. He's being smart about it and playing with people's expectations.
By the way, aside from Steph and Clay,
Joe
Ingles is the sort of remaining like top tier 3-point shooter in the playoffs. Steph and Clay are up there. Steph's 3-point percentage isn't actually not as high as I would have thought.
This year was not his best.
It was like 42%.
Yeah.
However, the volume that Steph and Clay shoot like far surpasses, like, you know, you've got Kyle Korver, right? On the Cavaliers. He shoots like 3 or 4 a game or something like that.
Because he doesn't play as much
I don't think most of the guys ahead of them in percentage, if they were forced to shoot 8 to 10 per game,
would have that same thing.
They wouldn't have that same thing. But it's interesting that so Joe Ingles is like the remaining like long distance weapon in a league and a year where it was like it's all 3 and D this year.
Yeah.
And like Harden makes a lot of 3-pointers, but also does not shoot a great percentage.
They shoot a ton. Like the rest of the team for the Rockets shoots them well.
Yeah.
They're not like at the top of the leaderboard, but that's because they're all like 37 to 40% 3-point shooters.
Right, pretty much
everybody else on that team. So anybody on that team is a threat from deep. Basically.
Something to watch in that series that Kobe was saying was that he wants Donovan Mitchell to stop avoiding Capella at the rim.
Oh, to kind of take it at him. And
he wants him to generate contact and fouls.
Yeah.
And because there were a lot of clips of him even successfully like scooping it around him and he was like in a playoff series, you want to, especially at the beginning of the games, like just go right into him. He didn't say this, but I think Kobe would be like, get a charge if you want to. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that series.
Yeah.
Cavs, Raptors. This is good. This is like the crucible for the Raptors.
Yeah.
To me.
Yep.
This
Throw
is
them
like,
in the fire.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to come out victorious, and I'm excited to see them march their way to their first NBA Finals. That's what I think is going to happen.
Sixers, Celtics.
Yeah. That game was rough for the Sixers. They shot it like awfully. It was bad.
It would be interesting. Either team, if the Raptors make it through, I would probably want the Raptors to make the finals.
Uh-huh.
If the Cavaliers make it through, I will be interested to see them play either of those teams.
Yeah.
I actually think that Boston would be, because they're so well coached, it would be interesting to see them game plan against LeBron.
Yeah.
The Sixers, I actually think... they're just more variable because they're so young.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Simmons 3 years from now is going to be a reliable monster. Like, he's not going to have games like that.
Seven turnovers is too many to
Embiid
have.
Embiid still had a good game.
Embiid had a great game.
You know.
I think that series with the Raptors and the Cavs is gonna be a fun one. I do, however, I want to take the last like couple of minutes here to gloat a little.
Oh,
who on the podcast correctly predicted the winner of every single first round series?
Oh, did you?
Was it me? It was certainly me. Every single one. I didn't get all the games right. Because you know, I'm not a clairvoyant, but I'm pretty proud of my prediction game on the first round there. I was happy to
very good, Casey,
to be happy about it.
So we should really listen to you for the second round.
I mean, I already made my picks.
That's right.
Tell you what, that Sixers sweep everybody doesn't look good. That one I made real impulsively.
It could still happen.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It could.
A gentleman sweep.
A gentleman sweep. Yeah, that counts. That counts as a sweep.
Yeah.
It has the word sweep in it.
I mean, if they get swept, it still counts as a sweep.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
Hey, I called it.
I don't think we're going to see any sweeps in this round.
No, I don't think so either.
I'm excited. The only thing that bums me out about as the playoffs progress is you start to get... It's just there's just less and less basketball.
Yeah. It's a slow trickle of
the
of
first round
sadness.
Is really fun because like literally every day there's like... so many games to process.
Yeah.
And then like as we especially when it gets to the finals and it's two teams you don't like, then it's just like, oh man, it's like 3 days between these two games. I don't like either team.
Yeah.
They're traveling and I don't want to hear good or bad things about either team.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm hoping honestly the most feel good finals for me would be Warriors Raptors.
Okay.
I would enjoy the entire series.
Yeah.
And honestly if the Raptors beat the Warriors, I'd be like great for the Raptors.
Yeah.
Like that's terrific.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I think that'd be very cool.
Like worst one will be Rockets Cavs.
Okay. Yeah.
In which case I will want somehow both teams to lose.
Yeah. I think I would hate a Celtics Pelicans final. I think that would be,
I wouldn't hate that. I would just be like indifferent.
No, it'd be so weird. Cause all you'd get is like, is Boston going to trade for Anthony Davis during the finals? Whatever. Check us out on barstoolsports.com.
Wait, here's a not impossible result. The Celtics could make the finals.
Yeah.
What if the Celtics make the finals and they would probably lose to the Warriors or Rockets and then don't make the finals next year with Kyrie and Hayward back in the roster?
Ship their ass out.
I think we should leave people to ponder that.
Yes, yeah.
Email us at ruleofthreespodcast, that's the number three.
That's right.
At gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter.
That's right.
And, We'll see you next time. We'll see you very soon if LeBron loses.
Oh yeah, don't worry. Don't you worry. We'll be on the LeBron Schadenfreude beat.
That's right. All right, see you next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.